One of the things that I had thought about is how Dogen talks about the importance of not wasting a day. And the great Dogen Zenji, there are some of those who consider him, certainly in the Japanese tradition, and that was my teacher was Japanese. Dogen Zenji was a genius. He was an intellectual genius, and there are those who feel spiritually that he was I've heard it said, the equivalent of an Einstein. See, in the field of physics, the material world, and here Dogen was equivalent to that in the spiritual world. So very powerful. He's in our direct lineage. As a matter of fact, I don't know why I bring this up. I didn't even know it until my teacher died. I practiced with him 27 years. That he had taken and combined Dogen Zenji and his teacher, Tendo Nyojo, had combined those names in my name. And I had never known that until he was dead. And then it was actually Mushoku who started looking at the characters in my name and said, gee, do you know that these are pretty good characters? again, this is who he is. And he has done a work, one of the seminal works in Buddha Dharma called the Genjo Koan. And most people, most practitioners and most scholars can't penetrate that. My teacher was one who could. So we'll play a little bit more with this, and we'll use the great Dogen Zenji and see if he can offer us some encouragement as we go into this 90-day training period. And the importance of not postponing, of putting off. I can't tell you the number of people. Domon has seen them come in here, and Anto has seen them come in here. Gendo has been around, where people who had practiced and been around Roshi for a number of years kept putting it off. And then he was gone. And then they were running around, thrashing about, trying to, and you've seen that down in the other place, trying to get some recognition. Trying to say, well, you could do this for Roshi. No. See, if you don't take advantage of the time that you have, see, then when it's gone, it's simply gone. Dogen has said here, he said, Buddha ancestors have said since ancient times, living for 100 years without encountering a Buddha does not compare with living for one day and arousing determination for the way. You hear that, see? Having lived for 100 years without encountering a Buddha, it does not compare with living one day and arousing the determination for the way. That's to practice. See? And Dogen Zenji has always said, see, practice is enlightenment. Now, what does he mean by practice? He means that you can put aside all of your intellectual understanding, all of your psychological needs, all of the bias, the prejudice, and the overwhelming need to conceptually understand. If you can put that aside, and if your practice is counting the breath, that's all you do. You count the breath. You follow the breath. You work on your koan until you slip free from the mind that is trying to understand it, the mind that is trying to control it, until you become simply the concentrated mind. If it's the breathing, a remarkable thing happens. The breath slows down. It deepens. The great Kori Roshi, one of my teachers, I practiced with him because Roshi hadn't finished with his practice when Kori Roshi came to town. And Kori Roshi was a master, see, of generating great Jōriki strength in his samadhi, and was a master also of working with the breath. And he told me at the time that the average adult breathes 17 times a minute, and that within a few months, if you actually apply yourself to your practice of counting the breath, you will slow that down naturally until you're breathing 5 to 6 times a minute. And let me tell you that if you're attentive, you go deeper into that, it will slow down to where it's once or twice a minute. And then amazing kinds of things occur. Right where you are, as you are, the mind that is fixated on an egocentric self drops away, and you can become one with the breathing. And you experience then your life in a different way. It is your life, and it is your choice how you experience it. If you do the practice, see, so here it is, one day of arousing determination. See, living for 100 years without meeting a Buddha, at some point in your practice, you'll realize, see, I can remember this very vividly, that if I don't cultivate and bring a Buddha into existence here in the center of my mandala where I sit, there will be no Buddha in my universe. Buddha, by the way, here is not an Asian god. You read the old masters. This is where scholars have goofed it all up. Buddha simply means awakened. See? And when we say awakened, we mean awakened Buddha mind. We mean the awakened mind. Where is the awakened mind? You're sitting in it. You know where you're at. You can feel your back. You're aware even of your thoughts going. Well, what is it that's aware of your thoughts? See, if you can drop the fixation to this body, which can be done, then this Buddha mind, this awakened mind is there. See, and this is the very first, see, teaching of the Buddha, the koan practice, where he himself, looking at the morning star, said, I, the great earth, I, that's that thing that's sitting there. You know you're here, don't you? You're aware of that. If you don't, you're in trouble. But you should know you're here. You do know you're here. Please respond in a positive. See? That's that awareness. Now don't try to start some sort of an intellectual understanding of it, some kind of a calculation. Simply be aware. Be aware. Now what we're trying to do is not slip back up into the mind that ruminates, the mind that starts to discriminate. This is the tricky part of practice. But Buddha said, I, the great earth and all sentient beings, simultaneously. The great earth, all sentient beings, he's a sentient being, all sentient beings, everything that creeps and crawls and flies, see, everything, nothing is excluded from this I, which is this Buddha mind, Buddha meaning simply awakened. To be awakened, see, in this Buddha mind, means that you have entered into samadhi. Samadhi, again, Sanskrit, how difficult it seemed to me when I started. See, what is samadhi? They'd say, cultivate samadhi. Well, yeah, but samadhi simply means non-distracted awareness. The state of non-distracted awareness. Are you aware where you're at right now? Now, just stay in that state. Just be awake here. Don't slip up here and try to understand it. Just be awake. See, well, how do I do that? Just look out here. See, now you're in a state of samadhi. Now, this can deepen. See, because you watch the distractions, the physical discomfort, the thoughts that come through. These are the things that keep me trapped, see, in the six senses, in this skin bag. But if I can slip free from that, this is where the great god-drunk Persian poets are. See, and only then can they sing like that. See, but if you stand on the other side, you read other poets, don't reach it. See, that's the magic of how they can sing. See, they are free in this enlightened mind. And the nectar of it is intoxicating. See, Cameron likes these great Persians, these Sufi poets, see. And we refer to them as the god-drunk poets, see. I was always God-drunk, I just wasn't a poet. Sometimes you just have staggering drunks. See, and the Persian poets even sing about that, and they sort of love them, see. See, so if you can take care of this most amazing thing, see, this is what you are, and you cheat yourself. He said, see, this I, again, that the Buddha talked about, if you don't meet it, if you don't wake it up, it isn't going to be out here looking for you. You wake up to it. You are it. See, look, half the battle is won. You don't have to look for it anymore. And they used to say, if you run to this place, you run to that place, see, you're just going around putting another head on your head, and you'll never find it. And I, over the years that I've practiced now, going on 38, 39 years, I have seen people who made constant trips around the world to find the one spot. And the problem for them was wherever they went, there was one thing that was always absolutely consistent. They carried their head with them. See, never could find it. See, sit down. See, turn the light inward and begin to practice. And then, like the great Shakyamuni said, I, the great earth, all sentient beings, simultaneously attain the way. When you can do it, everything is then this enlightened mind. And this is to be experienced. This is the experience of Kenjo. This is, see, the great transformation, see, where you can transcend the realms of birth and death. He said, these are not merely the words of one or two Buddhas. They have been spoken and practiced by all Buddhas. Within the cycles of birth and death for myriad kalpas, one day of continuous practice is a bright jewel in the banded hair, the ancient mirror of all-inclusive birth and all-inclusive death. The braided hair, I won't even go into it. It's a story. It's a story about a hermit and all of that, but we'll go into it. This one day, now this is an important thing. See, this is an important thing. This one day that Dogen's encouraging you not to waste. And remember, we can always find these stories at two different levels. What he's also saying at a surface level, see, at the most, if I can say it, and I shouldn't say it, but superficial understanding. And yet it's not. It's quite profound. Don't waste one day. For those of you who sit this 90 days, you're going to be tempted. I always like, because I always kind of look over out of the corner of my eye at Doman when I talk like this, to watch him, see, kind of flush up for a moment or say, how many days do you actually sit? See? And he'll tell you, see, you go through a process, you struggle, you drift off into your dream world. See, you come back, you try to stay present, but the egocentric mind is overwhelming because it wants some kind of activity. It wants some kind of result. And at some point you say, well, you just drift off because you can't do it. This is the way the egocentric mind works. But if you can hold yourself to it, as the Shakyamuni Buddha did, see, he tried. His life is a marvelous parable of the journey that we all go through. See, initially, we're born into great wealth. But because of all of the junk wealth we have in our head, our likes and our dislikes, see, we realize that as we look out of the wall, over the wall of what? The shell that you live in. You look over there, and my God, all of a sudden, if you're not dull and insensitive, drugged up or doped up, alcoholed up, something, beaten, insensitive, you look out and you see, my God, there's old age, there's sickness, and there's death. And at some place, it creeps in like it did with him. As he asks his attendant, does this happen to everyone? He says, yeah. Oh, how can anybody find joy in a world where that is the conclusion? Old age, if you're lucky. Old age and sickness, if you're lucky. Old age and death, if you're lucky. If not, it can come sooner. It can come, see, while you're young. See, how horrible, see? Cut off, see? Not able to realize this most amazing treasure that you have. That you have it, see, closer than, as Joshua said, than the skin on your nose. It's what you are. This one day, this bright jewel, this one day is this state of awareness. Now there's an interesting thing about this. I don't know whether this reaches people or not. See, this now, you realize it's now, don't you? You do know it's now. You got to give me feedback here. See, this now, you know it's now, don't you? You know you're not in yesterday, and you know you're not downstream in tomorrow. It's now, and in this now, you're aware that it's now. See, Now, if you get that much, you got a leg up on the game. See, this is this one day. This now, see, never changes. Never changes. When you wake up along the way, every once in a while you wake up and say, is it now? You'll find that it is always now. Most amazing thing. There are physicists who are beginning to realize that. It is always now. Downstairs, if we have lunch with us, see, sit for a moment, look around and say, it's now. Yeah, it's now. It is always now. See? And that now is always aware when you're conscious of being aware. Now, if not, you're caught in your head. You're thinking. See? And then there is not the awareness. You're not awake. That's what it means. We live in a dream world. And in that dream world, for some of you, you're talking to yourself right now. See? But you live in that dream world. You don't wake up in the now. See? And you think that the dream world, you think the fantasy world, see, is somehow or another, see, going to pay big dividends. Well, you may go on to be a movie star. You may be the next Warren Buffett. But like Warren Buffett and anyone else, you know what the outcome of your journey is. You're going to get old. You're going to get sick. Am I being depressing, Judy? And you're going to die. That's just it. See, and Buddha said, got to find a way out of this. Must be some solution. So he tried all kinds of crazy things. And finally, what did he do? He said, I sit down here in this place and I don't move. And I somehow make a breakthrough and I find out what it is. And that's where he said, looking, see, the morning sky, it all came into being, enlightened. From that point on, absolute, unfettered mind, the joy, the bliss of what we are truly all about. Not just me, you. It is always about you. The ancient mirror of all-inclusive birth and all-inclusive death. The oneness of it. Where is this mirror, this jewel mirror? See, you can read, you'll read about this pristine jewel mirror. It's right here. Shh, don't think. See how beautifully it reflects? See, and it reflects the karma that spins around you. Don't try to understand it. See, this is the most, don't try to understand it. Simply begin to live in this state of samadhi. See, now realize, using the mirror, see, as a metaphor, we can only push it so far. But where it has value in that the mirror doesn't pick and choose what reflects. So don't you pick and choose what reflects. And then the great Banky said, but remember, the mirror in a sense is just a two-dimensional kind of thing. This mirror that we're talking about, this jewel, is infinite, infinite in the universes that it possesses. It is infinite in the wisdom that it has. See, it is the place of great joy and the place of great compassion. And in this place, you can do good. That's the only place that we can do good. And in this temple, on the left side or your right side as you look up, see, this would be Avalokiteshvara Bodhi or Kanan or Kuan Yin. Here it's our Kuan Yin. And we have her in female form. See, because this is the one who will go down into the depths of hell to save. She's running on and out. She goes down for the animals. She goes down for the children. See? And then if need be, she sits and she weeps forever for the suffering, see, of all of mankind. See, I have her here. I look for her because our great Buddha mind is gender free. See, don't any women think that they're less. You can read some Buddha sutras. See, where people have added things on saying, well, you got to wait till they're reborn as a male. That's garbage. I don't care what sutra it's attached to, it's garbage. And if they try to make you think that it's a sutra, that's BS. And whoever did that has never ever seen the great unfolding of Dharma. See, there is no discrimination in this great body of oneness, and they never heard this from the Buddha. In his Diamond Sutra, he simply says, good men and good women. no perception of a subject, no perception of an object, and then perform good deeds. There's no subject, you're ego-free. You're free. You're not worried about what people think about you. You're not worried about having to be aggressive to defend anything. And you're not a doormat. See, you cover the ground where you stand because you're fearless. See, and there are things out there that need to be pushed down. There are things that need to be brought up. See, and you're not caught in the little egocentric self. No fear. See, then Buddha said, you perform meritorious deeds. And it's only in that state of deep samadhi that you can truly perform meritorious deeds. But at least we mistakenly think that that means if you're not enlightened, you can't practice. My teacher said, whatever you do, you always practice as if you're enlightened. And the reason for that is that we're working in energy. And whenever you make an effort to turn in a positive and good way, you turn your karma. See, and as we go into this, I'll use Dogen because Dogen is marvelous to talk about that, what it means to do atonement. See, what it means to practice the precepts. See, this is the roadmap that helps us come out of the egocentric mind. It helps us, see, to take this energy field that we're working in and we bring it into great harmony, eliminating the separation. So this one day, this bright, this, here now, Domon had given me this book, or it was an article, on a couple of young physicists who were rethinking their work. And they said what they have to now take into consideration is that time, the time is always now. They talk about the past. You can't find the past. You can only find now. You can take the finest precision instruments, and it can only be recorded in the now. See, we put it out in the forest. This is what they've tried to do, see, to somehow or other get a truly objective platform. But the problem is that it's only in the now can you read the data output. It's always now. And then the other part that they found fascinating, and you have to look carefully at this for yourself, it's always here. You're always exactly where you are. And it's always the way we say, I'm always here. It's always now and it's always here. So distance, well, it's always here. Well, then what the devil is all of this about? This is the great illusory body. You cannot grasp Buddha Dharma through the intellect. But some of these words should begin to spin you. They should be words that sort of open up a little bit of a window, a bit of a light to look in and to say, my God, what am I? See, what am I? See, I talked with somebody today. See, they can't believe, see, that I'm something. You are. See, your most amazing thing. See, without you, there is no universe. You are that. He said, it is a day of rejoicing. See, this one bright day. It is a day of rejoicing. The power of continuous practice is itself rejoicing. What do the other old masters have said? You frolic. You live in a samadhi of bliss forever. These were intellectual geniuses, spiritual geniuses. Intellectual geniuses, they are not frivolous and careless in their use of words. They know the meaning of the words that they use. This is what you are. And if you can just free yourself from the crazy mind of expectation, from the crazy mind, see, that produces the illusion, see, of separation. Remember, the scientist said, it's the brain is playing this game. He said, when the power of your continuous practice is not sufficient and you have not received the bones and the marrow of Buddha ancestors, you are not valuing the mind, body-mind of Buddha ancestors, nor are you taking joy in the face of Buddha ancestors. That means, again, if you're caught in the discriminating consciousness, you're not appreciating what's right in front of your face. what's right in front of your face is this joyful, this joyous state. See? And then as this sense of in front, we talk like that because that's where we go. Once that little, see how narrow it is, how thin it is. See, once this little projection of separation drops, then you've entered into it, the great joyous state. Then, like the Buddha, how wondrous, how wondrous. I, the great earth, all sentient beings, simultaneously, all at once. See, the universe unfolding is nothing other than your true self. Can't grasp that intellectually. He said, although the face, the bones, and the marrow of Buddha ancestors are beyond going and not going, beyond coming and not coming, see, they are always transmitted through one day's continuous practice. That is, if you stay in the samadhi now, see, it's all taken care of. See? And the other part of this is when I say, particularly for the newer people, say, not knowing. See, of not trying to conceptualize, trying to understand. See, don't worry about it. It is the discriminating consciousness, it is the delusional mind that we stay trapped in. It is the mind that keeps me trapped in this body, through my seeing, through my hearing, through my smell. Kamran, did you see the woman who entered nirvana while having the brain hemorrhage? See, again, when she started to break down, she's a scientist. She's a neuroanatomist from Harvard trained, who does her Harvard research there. Have you guys seen it? You should try to get one of our folks to give you that link. She starts to have a brain hemorrhage, a brain stroke. And as it starts to break down, most amazing, she doesn't go into panic. But she begins to record, to be awake while she's going through the process, literally of beginning to die. Normally, people panic. No coincidences. The fact is that at some point my teacher would have said she has practiced. And what she did then, she gives a report. Did you see that? See, she reports to you what's happening as she begins to watch herself withdraw from the senses. Now, much of what she talks about in there, see, it goes beyond a drug trip. No, it goes beyond this. If deep samadhi, you'll begin to see this. You should begin to experience this. See, where she reaches down, and at the molecular and atom level, she can no longer tell where her hand lets off and the wall starts. She breaks down into the molecular level. This can be experienced. And as she begins to withdraw from the senses, see, she moves into this other aspect. She goes left brain, right brain, because she's a scientist. But this should be encouraging to everyone. See, this should tell you the way you're perceiving your life, see, is unfortunately an illusory joke. And it's a joke in that it keeps you trapped in suffering where you don't need to be. He said, therefore, each day is valuable. 100 years lived in vain is a regrettable passage of time, a remorseful life as a living corpse. See, and that's how most of us take care of that. He said, even if you run around as a servant of sound and form for 100 years, if you attain one day of continuous practice, you not only attain the practice of 100 years, but you awaken others for 100 years. Now, this is where the great Dogen, he's diving down into the deep, into the absolute. He's starting to turn it in a very, very subtle way. Now, you have to pay close attention, see, to see if we can reach this. But even if you run around as a servant of sound and form for 100 years, this egocentric mind, this ruminating mind, my teacher would say, it is a miserable master, but it is a wonderful servant. See, if you are a servant of form and sound, this delusional place, see, if you run around in that for 100 years, and yet if you attain one day of continuous practice, one day of it, if you punch through for this instant, this one day, then those 100 years are immediately transformed. But not only have you taken care of yourself, but you awaken others for 100 years. See, the whole being is transformed. Buddha said, do you see, this is where in the vow of a bodhisattva, to save all suffering sentient beings, if I try to understand that and I stay trapped in the realm of samsara, see, it is a thankless task, a task that cannot be completed. However, we still, as delusional as it is, we take that vow, see, to end the suffering of all sentient beings. My teacher would tell me, Nyogen, when the path is difficult and the practice becomes painful, take on the pain at that point. Vow to bring in more pain, bring in the pain of the whole universe. Allow me, see, to shoulder that burden. And that's the vow of a bodhisattva. But if you really can see what it is we're talking about here, as you go through this transformation, as you drop the attachment to the self, as you step out into the state of non-distracted awareness, there is nothing outside of the universe that you inhabit. And like the Buddha, all sentient beings, all creatures simultaneously awaken. You have saved all those in 100 years of suffering. See, what an amazing thing. The great Dogen Zenji here, he said, we don't even know the power of an old monk on the side of a mountain revolving the sutras. Sitting alone, revolving the sutras, he turns the universe. If you could see this. He said, the living body of this one day is a living body to revere, a form to revere. If you live for one day merged with the activity of the Buddhas, this one day is considered as excellent as many kalpas of lifetimes. He said, even when you're uncertain, and that's for most of us, he said, and here again, see, from this amazing depth, he rises to the surface here. See, and talks to us on a very pragmatic way. He said, even when you're uncertain, do not use this one day wastefully. You can understand this one day. Some of you started our day at 4:30. Some of you started your day today at such and such. Some of you won't stop until 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm looking at you, Bean. See? This one day, you understand this one day. We go to bed, we get up. We go to bed, one day. And now what he's telling you, don't waste this. See, he's telling you, don't waste this. Don't, if you haven't followed, see, the depth that he's working in here, so take care of this, don't waste this. We're coming up to a 90-day, 90 of these little breaks. Don't waste one of them. See, don't waste your time. And understand, it doesn't mean to deny yourself. You do not reject the world that you're in. You try to stay awake in the world you're in. And I'll tell you something else. The pleasurable things will be more pleasurable. You won't be caught up in your egocentric mind judging it. See? You'll also be able to help when help is needed. You won't have to get into this, the egocentric census, am I appreciated for what I do? With that, you help. Then you stand back, see, in false modesty, saying, doesn't anyone want to tell me how good I am? See, it becomes so much easier, your life so much richer. Do not compare it with an enormous jewel. Do not compare it with a dragon's bright pearl. Old sages valued this day more than their own living bodies. Reflect on this quietly. A dragon's pearl may be found, an enormous jewel may be acquired, but this one day out of 100 years cannot be retrieved once it's lost. Now again, he's telling you something, he's bringing you into here. Jewels and all of this, see, you can acquire them. But this one day, if you don't take care of this, if you waste this, if tomorrow you waste it, you can never get it back. Show me the jewel that is that precious. See, and to these old Buddhas, see, most precious thing is this time of this one day. And think about how many times we have wasted. Here at the Hazy Moon, where we have a powerful practice, I certainly know that I waste time. Maybe nobody else around me does. And if that, in fact, is the case, I'm really applauded. And you're carrying me. See? Please continue carrying me. See, I need lots of help. See, but think about it. If you don't take care of it, it's gone. He said, reflect on this quietly. See, reflect on this quietly. Think about the waste. And each day that's wasted, they slip away, and then one day you're going to look up in a mirror, woo, just like I did, and say, my 72nd birthday? Who is that old guy there? I don't remember him. See, the days have slipped away. Not to waste time is to contain the passage of days and months within your skin bag without leaking. You know what your skin bag is? That's what you are. Your eyes, your nose, your tongue, your mouth, your senses, your brain. See, not to waste time is to contain the passage of days within this. Without leaking. Without leaking. That means don't slip off, see, into the ruminating waste. Don't get attached out there. Stay present. When you look, see, look, just look as the mirror. And then do what needs to be done. Test it. Test it for yourself. This is what Buddha said. You test it for yourself. See? And then you'll know it works or it doesn't work. And then he said, if it doesn't work, go do something else. The old masters will say, it's like scooping water up in the cup. You have to scoop it up. You have to drink it. Then you'll know whether it's warm or it's cool. And your understanding will be unshakable. But you have to do it. The sages and the wise ones in olden times valued each moment, day and month, more than they valued their own eyeballs or the nation's land. To waste the passage of time is to be confused and stained in the floating world of name and game. Not to miss the passage of time is to be in the way for the way. Once you have clarity, do not neglect a single day. See, for many of you in here now, you see the path. You see what's there. Now just continue to pull the ox back on. The ox is your continuously wake up here. This is the path. Don't stray from it. He says, wholeheartedly practice for the sake of the way and speak for the sake of the way. Please take care of it.